On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee. Now, if we are reading through and keeping track, according to the Jewish reckoning of time, this was the sixth day in John's gospel, the gospel that starts with the beginning. And on the sixth day, the day that God had made Adam and Eve, Jesus finds himself at a wedding. We don't know how Jesus was connected to this bridal party. Perhaps his mother was a relative or a close friend. But we do know that Jesus was there along with his mother and with his disciples. At some point during the celebration, Jesus' mother learns that the wine has run out. This would be a disaster, a great embarrassment for the new couple and their family. So she goes to her son, Jesus, and mentions to him the problem. It's not clear quite what she expects to happen, but she knows that he has authority and power to do some pretty amazing things. She also trusts that her son will help. So despite his protest that he has nothing to, this has nothing to do with him, besides the fact that his hour to be glorified had not yet come, his mother tells the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now this alone is a sermon of faith. Do whatever he tells you. His mother has faith not only that Jesus is able to do something, but that he will intervene on behalf of this man and woman. Her faith serves as a model for the church, as we should have the faith always to say about Jesus, do whatever he tells you. But what his mother already knows, Jesus is about to reveal for the first time. He turns to the servants, and he instructs them to fill some jars with water. And then he makes quick work of the wine shortage. We see what his mother already knew. Jesus clearly had the authority and power from heaven to do such a great miracle. He is, at minimum, a prophet sent by God, for no one else could do this. But John has already revealed to us a secret. He has already revealed to us that Jesus is no ordinary man. He is the very Son of God, come in the flesh. Jesus is the divine Logos, the Word that was in the beginning, the second person of the Trinity. It was through him that all things were made. Now the Creator stands here in the flesh as part of his creation. Thus the perceptive insight of the medieval quip that the water recognized its creator and blushed. And just what has the Creator come here to do? The details of the story aren't simply there by accident. This, the first of his signs, which manifested his glory, begins to reveal an answer. On the third day, we already hear the distant echoes of Easter. Yet we are at the end of the first 6 days in the Gospel of John, when Jesus stood before a man and a woman, reflecting those first 6 days of creation when God stood before Adam and Eve. Here, at the beginning of the Gospel of John, Jesus the Creator comes to recreate his world that was corrupted by sin. And notice where the water comes from for this miracle. John says there were 6 stone jars of water there for the Jewish rites of purification. God commanded numerous ritual washings for his people to keep them clean and pure, to signify their identity in him so that he is able to dwell among them. And Jesus chose these water jars for the very purpose of his miracle. This is a detail which John considers to be very important, as the Creator comes in the flesh to recreate by purifying his creation. But how does he intend to do this? So Jesus takes these jars, each holding 20 to 30 gallons each, And he tells the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they fill them to the brim. Now that's 120 to 180 gallons of water ready to overflow. And considering that the party has already been going on for quite a while and much wine has already been served, this is more than enough. This abundant gift that the Creator gives to this man and this woman is more than they could ever hope for or imagine. It will not only save them by covering what they lack, but there will be so much left over. The Creator comes in the flesh by grace to recreate by graciously giving of his own riches. And Jesus takes this water and he changes its nature. It becomes something new, something wonderful. This water is changed into wine. And this wine is taken by the servants to the master of the feast. And after tasting it, he says to the bridegroom, "Everyone serves the good wine first. And when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." The new wine is better than that wine that came before. The Creator comes in the flesh to bring a new and better covenant, one that would be rich with his grace and purify his people. For this grace would change their very nature, so that they themselves would become something new, something wonderful. The Creator was coming and bringing on his heels the new creation. And this would all come to pass in the hour of his glory, when Jesus was finally manifested. Later in his ministry, Jesus will say, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." And when Jesus was lifted up on the cross for the world to see, his blood streamed like wine down his bruised and mangled body. His body and blood being the most gracious gift of all, given for our sake, to take the sin that dwells within our very hearts, the sin that corrupts our very nature, and to crucify it with him on the cross in his own flesh. This is the very reason the Word of God became man, to recreate the world by taking the sin of the world to himself and offering himself up under God's judgment in our place. And on the third day, the wedding feast began, when the bridegroom rose again to conquer sin and death in our place and give us new life forever. And in his death and resurrection, Jesus purified and transformed us from earthly water into heavenly wine. And yet, we hold this treasure in jars of clay. The miracle at Cana points us to the miracle of the cross and empty tomb. And fellow saints, this miracle of recreation touched you when the waters of your baptism mingled with the blood of Christ, flowed over you. When you were baptized, you became a member of the bride of Christ, who is without spot or blemish. And you were given the faith to trust that not only was Jesus able to do this for you, but that he already has. And each and every time we find ourselves dirtied and burdened by sin, we are able to turn yet again to the bridegroom and confess to him, so that our sins flow away from us and onto the cross crucified. When we abide in faith, like the mother of Jesus, knowing what he has done for us, We know that that eternal wedding feast of the Lamb and His kingdom has already begun and has no end. The bridegroom will return to claim His bride and to bring us with Him into His new creation. This is the feast of victory for our God. So come, drink freely of the forgiveness of sins, which are poured out for you and flow from Jesus Christ, the new wine.